Both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online, as we are in the second week of a message series titled Away in a Manger. And here's a question. Do you still put out a Christmas creche every year, a Christmas manger scene? You know, there's the manger and then the hay and the straw and the animals and the different characters, the different figures. You know, when I was a kid, that was one of the most cherished memories that I had as a child. We would very carefully take the box that the creche had been packed in, and we would get the different pieces out, and we would be very careful, you know, not to drop any of the figurines, even though when you looked closely, there was glue marks on just about every one of them where somebody had dropped them and they had had to been, you know, repaired and re-glued together, because there were seven of us kids. And, you know, between early December and Christmas time, you know, even though nobody was supposed to really be handling those figurines, somehow or another, somebody did, and they needed to get fixed. And they always did. That experience of setting out the Christmas creche was a very meaningful thing for me as a kid. Well, this year for our series, we're looking at some of those characters involved in the Christmas story. And of course, last week we went back some 700 years before Jesus' birth and saw that Isaiah's writings spoke prophetically of Jesus coming. Even though he lived some 700 years, Isaiah the prophet and many of the other prophets are woven into the fabric of the Christmas story, because God used them to speak, to foretell what was to come. Though Isaiah's words had particular significance in his day, after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the early disciples, the early church, found additional meaning and significance as well. They came to understand that Isaiah's words pointed to Jesus. That yes, Jesus was God's anointed one. Jesus was, in fact, God's Messiah. Jesus was the light who came to shine in the darkness. He was the one, Emmanuel, God with us. He was the suffering servant who was pierced for our transgressions. They understood that Jesus was the Son who would come and establish an everlasting kingdom of righteousness and justice. And he was the one who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah's words encouraged hope then as now. In his day, the people who experienced exile had hope that one day God would help them return to their promised land. They were in the drama, the terrible throes of exile, but they had hope that someday they would be able to return, and one day they did. And since Jesus' resurrection, we too walk in the hope and the promise of new life, and the hope that he will come again one day to fully establish his kingdom of righteousness and justice and peace. And we look forward to it. Isaiah's words encouraged hope and expectation both then as well as now. Another thing I want us to understand today: the arrival of Jesus was an advent of God's love. The word advent means coming. And it was the arrival of God's love, the coming of God's love. His birth was the sign that God's great love was also for all people. Love was the motive behind Jesus' coming. The Apostle John penned it well when he said this, and let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That simple verse is the heart of the gospel. And it's a story that God started. In fact, God's initiating love for all people was the catalyst behind Jesus' birth. And that's the heart of the story, God's initiating love. God started it. When I first began to understand what the Bible was saying about God's gracious love, it was kind of hard to fathom. I couldn't quite get my head around it. But I found in 1 John 4:9-11, words that say it pretty well. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us, we also ought to what? Yes, God loved us first. Long before we are ever aware of it, God's love is coming toward us. John Wesley talked about that being God's prevenient grace. The question is, do we perceive it? Are we open to it? For some, it takes a while. For others, they miss it altogether. Oh, the wonder and the majesty and the mystery of God's love and grace. Well, Mary was a person open to God's love and grace. She's one of the main characters of the Christmas story. We don't know a lot of her backstory, but Mary was the one chosen to give birth to Jesus, to God's Son. She must have been open and receptive to what God was wanting to do in her life. As Luke tells her story in Luke 1:30, we read, "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You've found what? Favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name? He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end.'" I can't imagine what it must have meant for Mary to have heard those amazing words. All kinds of emotions. She did ask, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" A very practical and very reasoned question. The angel simply said this: "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Those must have been amazing words for Mary to hear as well. They are amazing words for us to take in today. This understanding that Jesus is the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, born of the Virgin Mary, not marred by sin like the rest of us, this is what makes Jesus unique. That is what makes him special as God's anointed one, as God's Messiah, as God's chosen one, as our Savior. The prophets spoke of his coming, and Mary would see the truth of their words come to fruition with the birth of her son Jesus. Though no doubt at times she must have wondered exactly, you know, what is all this going to mean for my life, for his life? Her heart, nonetheless, was full of love for this baby. As we can imagine, Mary's love for Jesus continued to grow. It grew with each new experience that happened. First, you know, there was the miracle birth of Jesus there in Bethlehem after their long, grueling trip from Nazareth. And then there was the arrival of these shepherds who told of an angel who was announcing the birth of a Savior. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ, the Lord." this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so then they hear this great heavenly host praising God and affirming what the angel has said. And what do? They go to Bethlehem to see what they might see, and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus there lying in a manger. They told them everything they had heard and experienced. And of course, there were other experiences to come. And the scripture says in Luke 2:19, let's read it together. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary was listening. She was pondering. She was loving everything that she was hearing from these shepherds who had come to adore the one who she already was in love with in ways more deeper than she could even imagine. Because why? Mary was a new mom. Mary was a new mother. And if she was like so many other mothers who have described the elation of meeting their firstborn after the difficulty of pregnancy and the painful finish line of the pushing and the straining of labor, for Mary, like every other mother, love indeed won the day. Love overflowed into and onto this little one now out of the womb and in Mary's arms. And all the pain and struggle that went to get to this moment, it was real, yes, but it faded into overwhelming love that washed those moments out of the picture. Love had arrived and was swaddled in a manger. Mary was in love with her new son. No doubt she had likely counted all of his fingers and toes several times over already. And now she's taken it all in, and the stories of these shepherds sound like something almost unbelievable. And yet, she remembered 9 months earlier, she too had had an experience with an angel that had almost been unbelievable as well. And so, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. One reason that Mary pondered and treasured these things with a heart full of love was because she was faithful herself. Faithful. As a faithful Jewish mother who had just given birth, she knew that she could only welcome others to come and adore him for only so long before some significant dates would be coming up. Soon Mary would be the one who would be going forward with Jesus and Joseph to express their adoration to God in a faith-filled manner with a long tradition that was staked in love. What am I talking about? Mary and Joseph expressed their love to God by faithfulness to the covenant. To the covenant. Long ago, God established a covenant relationship, remember, with Abraham and his descendants. He said to Abraham, I'm going to be your God, and you and all of your descendants are going to be my people. And the sign of this covenant, this special relationship that God initiated, was circumcision. In Genesis 17:11-12, God said, you are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between you and me for generations to come. Every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised. So out of love and faithfulness, we read in Luke 2:21, on the what day? 8th day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. So they named him Jesus, and they did that on the day of his circumcision. Then 31 days after the birth of a male child, parents went to the temple to present him to the Lord. Luke records their love and faithfulness in this way in Luke 2:22. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. as is written in the law of the Lord, the law of Moses. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So a month after Jesus' birth, a faithful demonstration of love for God by Mary and Joseph would take place called the redemption of the firstborn. And this would involve bringing Jesus to the temple to consecrate him to God and to offer a sacrifice. This was a sign of their love for God and their intention to follow the command of Moses to consecrate their firstborn son. And as they did this in Jerusalem, we're told that a man named Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. We don't know a lot about him. The scripture says he was righteous, he was devout, and that the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that mean? Well, he was waiting for the comfort. He was waiting for the relief. He was waiting for the help that God's Messiah would bring to his people. In fact, Luke 2:26 says of Simeon, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. Moved by the Spirit on that particular day, he went to the temple courts. The Holy Spirit, I don't know how the Holy Spirit talked to him, but somehow or another he knew, I need to get to the temple. And there he saw Mary and Joseph and the baby. And God somehow confirmed to him that this is the one. And so holding him in his arms, Simeon's prophecies about Jesus were profound. He praised God and he declared, sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. In other words, I'm ready to come home. I can do it now. And then in Luke 2:30, he said, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of whom? All people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. Remember what Isaiah had said, there is a light that is arising among the Gentiles. Simeon says, I've seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. I've seen your salvation, Lord, and it is wrapped up in the life of this little baby. And you've done it for all people. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. In other words, this baby is going to show the whole world the heart of God and bring glory as well to your people Israel. Well, Mary and Joseph were amazed by what this man of God was saying about their newborn son. Simeon blessed them, and then he said these words to Mary as well. He said, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. You see, Jesus then, as now, calls all people to make a response, to hear his call, to believe in him, to trust in him, to deny themselves, and to follow him. Jesus calls all people to response. Some are willing, others are not. And true hearts are revealed. And we know that one day, all true hearts will be revealed. And we look forward. Well, Simeon also warned Mary, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Mary, as well as Jesus, would suffer deep anguish. This is the first reference in Luke's gospel to Christ's suffering and death. And yet, love was at the heart of Mary's care for her newborn son. In the midst of all of the miraculous and all of the marvelous aspects of Jesus' birth, of his coming into the world, Mary's heart, in the middle of all of it, was full of love for her son Jesus. And that same love would be present with her, no doubt, every day of her life. It sustained her through all of the up times and the down times, particularly during the anguish of his death on the cross. And yet after the resurrection, when she and the others began to understand the full implications of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, Mary found her heart full of love and joy and wonder and gratitude. She couldn't help but join the others to declare the wonders of his love. Mary's amazing story was a great witness and a great encouragement to all who heard it. Yes, there was a sword, a pain that pierced her heart, but it was love that sustained her and love that can continue to compel her after his resurrection to be a part of the early New Testament community that went high and low to tell the glory of the story. We are grateful for her simple witness. And so, like Mary, may we too experience and share Jesus' great love. That's my prayer for all of us this Christmas. Amen? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, gracious Master, Almighty God, amazing Lord, we are certainly inspired and very thankful for Mary and her amazing experience as the mother of Jesus. She had several supernatural experiences surrounding the birth of her son and our Savior. The angel Gabriel came and told her of her miraculous pregnancy, and an angel also told Joseph in a dream not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, that what was conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit. And yes, Mary made the grueling trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem with Joseph and then gave birth to Jesus in a tiny stable. Very soon, shepherds came telling of another angel visit, announcing the birth of a Savior, a Messiah, the Christ of God. And then upon presenting the baby to God at the temple, this man named Simeon and a prophetess, Anna, too, spoke of the Holy Spirit of God working in mighty ways through the life of this newborn baby named Jesus. Scripture says that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, her great love for her son. And all that God was going to do through him was no doubt part of her prayers all her days. We're grateful for all the people and the experiences that surrounded Jesus and his birth. His mother Mary's loving and straightforward faith and simple character are an ongoing inspiration for all of us. So, Lord, continue to encourage and inspire our love and faith and character as we too seek to follow after him. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed, and everyone said, Amen.